Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Bulaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
It's the Monday Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Have so many questions to ask. All right, you ready to go? It's Super Bowl week. We discussed this a little bit last week, Ryan. But my first question is, did you watch any of the Pro Bowl? I don't even know how many days it was.
You know who watched it was my son. My son was really, because my son, you know, because my son plays flag football. So he's really into the flag football game that they play. He finds it very exciting because that, you know, that's the game that he plays. He doesn't play tackle. So these guys put on flags, they play, you know, and he's very entertained by it. So I watched a little bit of it and with him because he wanted it on, but he watched the entirety of it, which, you know what, good for him. He enjoyed it. But what he did, I think what he liked the most, which, because I have the NFL Plus, that's how I watch all the film and all that, you know, breakdown tape. He watched back all the skill stuff that they did throughout the week, like all the wide receiver skills challenges, all the dodgeball, all that. Like, he really liked all that stuff.
Now, how old is he?
Nine. Okay. And he's nine. So
I want to emphasize, we'll get back to your thought, but he can't play tackle football yet, isn't in various places. You don't play tackle till a certain age, and before then you play flag football. Do I have it right, or am I wrong?
Oh, he could play now in Florida. I mean, in Florida, he can play.
Oh, okay. You don't want him to play, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
I mean, my assumption is he'll probably play tackle football at some point, right?
At some point, I think he will, yeah. Okay. At some point, he will. And he'll want to. And you know what? I think for me, it's when he asks to play tackle, well, if he's at the right age, we'll allow him to. He enjoys playing flag, so that's good enough for me, right?
I want to say I was correct because I should have known. You're in Florida. In Florida, I think they let you start playing tackle football at 2. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I think they love them some tackle football in at a very young age in Florida. What position does he like to play, your son?
You know, I mean, he plays. I mean, wide out. Okay. He'll play running. Like, you know, it just depends on, you know, the play and formation and what they got going on, and he'll play cornerback, he'll play up front at, you know, the linebacker position, you know, and it just depends on what they got going on. So he's, you know, he moves all over the place and he has fun with it, and the team he's been with is the same team he's been with for a while and since he was in kindergarten. So these kids have been kind of growing up together and playing together. So it's been fun. And I've been coaching him, the same team pretty much essentially since he was in kindergarten. So I know these kids really well. And it's been fun. But anyway.
Wait a minute. What can you coach? You don't know anything about all that stuff. You're an offensive lineman. So what? Give me your resume as a coach and what do you teach? Or actually, you were a tight end in high school, right?
Yeah. You know, I think for me more so it's, you know, what I did do early on, because I was with a good friend of mine that he's really into the flag football stuff. I started out coaching with him, and his son was the quarterback, so he did a lot of the offense, and I took a lot of the defensive stuff. And that was more of my area of expertise, because I was really good at seeing defensive things and how, from an offensive standpoint, we would, you know, not from an, you know, big brain NFL looks, how we would attack offenses from a, or defenses from a passing game, you know, standpoint, how we would attack cover twos, cover threes, man to mans with crossers.
And
we would do that too, you know, flag football teams, and these coaches on the other sidelines would have no idea how to stop it. And we would be scoring, you know, 40, 50 points a game and would never lose a game. And that's, you know, and then defensively, we would run schemes that teams never saw and they couldn't really stop. And we would be hiding coverages and mixing coverages.
Wait a minute. Give us an example, because I'm sure we have people that flag football or whatever. So this flag football, for idiots like me, you know, is it how many on 7-on-7, or what's the numbers?
This version of flag football, 6-on-6.
6-on-6. All right. Give us an example of what you've done, assuming you don't want to give your secrets away, as an example, because it sounds pretty complicated, but I know you well enough to know you got to have it simple enough for them to do what you want.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, you know, to start it off, like, you have to look at your matchups with your athletes, right? Like, do your athletes, can you guard their athletes man-to-man, right? So if you think you can guard a man-to-man, you could show a lot of man-to-man looks and then bail out in the zone to trick their quarterbacks to think that they have man-to-man looks.
You got these kids this age looking man-to-man and then switching to zone? That's not fair. Come on.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. So you watch an NFL game and go, at some point, our flag football team would know how to handle that better than they just did. Have you ever said that?
I don't think I've ever said that, but it's just, I mean, and the thing is, like, you just explain it to them in as simple as terms as possible, and you give them code words of what to look for and what to do, and they're able to interpret it in the best way possible, and you give them fun names to how to remember stuff, and they're able to catch on really quick, and they do it right, and show and cover two looks and have them rotate late into cover three and drop down a safety and buzz
old,
you know, at that point, you know second graders, third graders, and you know,
so it's going to be hard for me to think that what the NFL players are doing is that tough when you've explained what I hear when they talk about it in the same way they do in the NFL with second graders.
Well, the only difference is that the caliber of athlete that they're doing it against in the NFL that they have to try to do this against, right? I mean, you're trying to disguise it against guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes, and then you have guys like Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams running by you and having to guard those. That's a little bit different than having, you know, a second grader.
Yes, but no, but the concept, I feel like we're gonna have to have a show in the future. We're gonna go over all this because
I mean it's there, like, and you know there's certainly something to it where you know you practice these things with kids over and over and over again to. You know, if they enjoy it enough, then they're prepared when they do start playing tackle, which a lot of kids have that we've coached. They start playing tackle around this age, and they're really comfortable going into, you know, schemes and formations and different looks. And their parents have said they've transitioned really well because of what they've learned, what we've kind of taught them. And you know, that's, I think that's what's most rewarding. You know what I mean? Like you practice with these kids, you know, a couple hours a week and teaching them things, and they go play tackle with coaches that they've never played with, right? They've never, you know, met, and they get told what to do or, you know, get introduced to something, and they have a pretty good idea of what it is. Yeah, it may be taught a certain way or called something different, but they understand the concept of it, and they understand what they should be doing. And to me, that's, you know, that's what you're looking for, right? Like that's the whole idea.
Well, no, I got it. The concept is we're always trying to confuse them, and we confuse them by switching between man-to-man and zone, right? I mean, that's, give me the second grader's approach. That's what I'd get if I'm a second grader, right?
Yeah, you're trying to confuse the quarterback to show him different looks. You know, you think, you know, because if obviously in man-to-man, you want to run a bunch of different crossing routes to pick guys and then have guys chase guys. And, well, if you're showing man-to-man looks and they're running crosses and all of a sudden you drop out in the zone and cover those pockets and he's throwing into space, well, there's guys sitting in those zones and there's easy routes to jump.
You're running 40 to nothing. All right, now we'll get to my question. Based on what you've said and what I've always believed, so much of the NFL wide receiving is setting picks that aren't picks, but they really are picks. So I'm going to play zone all the time. I'm just going to play zone. I'm taking that away from the opposing team. As Bill Belichick says, take away the best. Everybody wants to do that. I'm going to make them beat me in a way that takes away what I think is clearly what they like to do the most, because when you have three wide receivers, I know what that is. You know what that is? That's a pick play. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know where they're going to go. The only reason you have three wide receivers close together, in my mind, is to run a pick play. Now, first of all, address that theory. Am I correct in my theory?
Yeah, no, I mean, yes, in some way, shape, or form, they are trying to run a route that will technically pick one guy to make someone open, right? To put a defender at a disadvantage.
To put to their, generally their best player open, unless they want to fake you by worrying so much about their best player that somebody else gets open, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, you remember, I mean, I remember the days of it. Yeah, you certainly remember the days of it. And, you know, that the days of like the Darrell Revis islands of guys traveling with wide receivers, that's not happening anymore, right? Like those days are done because the days of teams having multiple, you know, or just one number one guy that's a stud wide receiver, that's over.
Like, well, no, but they're going to pick you. They're going to, if you're that good as a defensive back, they're going to pick you, and you can't stay with your guy. It's not possible, right?
Am but I that's, correct? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. The offenses have evolved. Like, they have completely evolved from when that was being done way more, where corners would travel one-on-one all the time.
Like Deion would shut somebody down. But so now what do you do with a great corner? They're limiting how valuable he can be, right, by all these picks, or maybe not.
Well, I think what you see in Seattle, Seattle started it. Well, not, I don't know if they started it, but they gave the blueprint. San Francisco did it. You know, San Francisco's still kind of doing it once they get that defense up and rolling again. Green Bay wants to do it with Halfley. That was kind of what it was meant to do. It's that cover three look where one side of the field gets shut down by a certain corner. Richard Sherman did it better than anyone. It's zone, but it's zone with the DB with his eyes at the quarterback, having one side of the field locked down. It looks like man, but it's not man. It's zone, and that is as close as you get to like having like a man-ish type look, but it's not. Yeah, you can mix man up every now and again, but it's not what you want to live in. You can't live in it. And you saw what happened to Detroit living in man-to-man in the playoffs.
No.
They got absolutely killed by Washington. They, you know what I mean? Right. Like, they lived in man-to-man.
I mean, I'm,
they got
I'm,
torched.
I would say to anybody, I would never play man-to-man. The only time I would play man-to-man is when I've convinced you that I'm playing zone all the time, so maybe the change. But With all the picks, I just don't. I mean, you do that because you want to create a big pass rush, right? You can then use more people to. You're basically doing that to make the offense struggle because you're putting so much pressure on the quarterback with so many different blitz options or rush options. Correct.
That's normally when you go man. Yes.
Yeah.
That's when you go man is when you're bringing pressure and you're expecting the ball to get thrown fast, right? And you're pressing coverage and you're expecting your guys to get home quick so that the ball has to come out. And by that time, your corners or coverage guys should be able to hold up long enough that they should be able to cover. And it disrupts the timing. Is that always true? I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, no, you're picking stuff. By the way, we got to take a break, but this is the greatest segment we've ever done. Football for kids that are so young, you can still teach them. Because I guarantee you, anybody listening to this, when the defense for the Packers messes up, they're going to go, Bulaga told me that he's got 9-year-old kids that can figure that out. What the hell is going on out there? And I know that's technically not true, but the concept of man-to-man versus zone defensively is in flag football, but it's that's what's going on in the NFL, right? I mean, that's the game. So, all right, we'll get back to it with Coach, who's so competitive, he's embarrassing other flag football teams with your approach. You don't feel bad about that at all. You're setting a higher standard for the game. Is that how you would look at it?
We're trying to be as competitive as possible. We're trying to be as competitive as possible.
Trying to beat the crap out of them. Come on. Like, if I'm a coach on the other team, you're going switching man-to-man and zone? The hell? This isn't the NFL, Bulaga. You've never had a coach say that to you?
Right. I've had a couple coaches be upset.
Yeah.
At us.
All right, we'll get to it. I still like you. American Place Casino. I love to tell you it's a half hour south of Franklin, or 38 minutes if you want to know exactly. Now, American Place Casino, it's located in Lake County, Illinois, and they have great table games, and they have slot machines. They got a sports book. They got great food. You can get the latest promotions and events. All you have to do is go to AmericanPlaceCasino.com, but that's not my area of expertise. You know Homer and American Place Casino, you know what I'm going to say, 30 minutes south of Franklin. 30 minutes south of Franklin, American Place Casino. And yes, if you're particular, it is exactly 38 minutes. Second quarter with Coach Brian Bulaga. Oh, man, I wish I was coaching against you. What is wrong with you? These are 9-year-old kids. Next. The second quarter with Brian Bulaga. I would just obsess on this and my fascination with your coaching and the standards that you set. You're making young kids smarter football players, right?
That's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Right.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Now, with your wide receivers, now, they don't necessarily have to address teams that are doing what you're doing defensively. What's your coaching as to what you do? A lot of pick plays, I'll bet.
We do a lot of... a lot of 3-by-1 formations,
yeah.
A lot of different combination routes, a lot of crossing routes, because currently right now in the league that we're in, we're a 3-5 team. So that's third grade to fifth grade. And we're playing up in a sixth grade to eighth grade division because of to play teams that are.
The coaches are crazy. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now, you know, teams. You know, the kids are bigger and more athletic than us. But so to me, what we have seen is they want to play man on us. So to me, that's great. That means I can run a lot
more
of those.
Which makes sense to you, which is kind of what right? If you were coaching their team, that's what you would do.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Right. I would put because their kids are bigger, they're faster. I mean, they're sixth and eighth graders going against third and fifth graders. But what that does is that allows me to run a lot of concepts that has these kids running a lot of crossers, a lot of three-man concepts that runs kids into each other and our pick plays, and kids get open, and it happens really fast. And we have a lot of kids that have great speed and they can get open quick and they're winning routes fast. And that's the whole concept of this. 'Cause in this league too, There's a rusher that's allowed. So, like, a kid's allowed to rush from 7 yards out, and the quarterback has to make decisions really quick. So, like, things have to happen in really, you know, really fast, you know, like, three-second blocks, right? So, like, routes don't have a bunch of time to develop. So things have to happen quick. Kids have to understand concepts and get open and win routes. So it's been fun to see how they've developed against older kids that are bigger, stronger, faster, all that.
But now I would assume all these kids are so much smarter about the game of football. The game of football when I was growing up, the biggest and the toughest are going to – I mean, that was the game. You blocked and tackled. This now seems to be where I'm guessing when these kids grow up and play at some level competitively, junior high, then high school – they got to be they're pretty smart, at least they played for you, about the other parts of the game, the smartness of the game, correct?
Yeah, I mean, because I think, you know, you look at it too, yeah, because not every kid, like, I was destined to be one thing, right? I was going to be a lineman, no matter what. Like, my size was taking me one direction. Not every kid is destined to be that, right? Like, and that's just the way it goes. Not everyone's going to be 6'5", 6'6", so... the more you can learn at this age and learn different aspects about the game and coverages and routes and concepts and get different viewpoints from different coaches and learn early on. And when you go to junior high and high school and you have high school coaches telling you things, you're like, oh, yeah, like I understand that. Like I understand cover two and you want to show something and we're going to flip it to cover three. We're going to drop the safety down in the box. And we're like, it's very easy to then revert, like, understand it. And yeah, they may call some different, but you remember it. And that to me is like what we're trying to do with kids right now is teach them that and make it fun for them to learn it, right? Like if you bore them to death with it, they're just going to like shut off, right? They're just going to tune you out. They're just going to go through the motion. So you got to make it fun for them and challenge them at the same time. And that's what I think we've found a way to do, and then put them in competitive situations when we play. So it's been fun. It's been, you know, for me, you know, not playing anymore, the only competitive thing I do is golf, you know. So like, to be coaching and seeing kids,
yeah,
you know, that I've been around
these
forever.
Other teams by go ahead. I can hear your analysis. Like, giving these kids such an edge. You know, you've created a problem now. You know what the problem you've created is? Every parent with a kid at some age is going to want to play for your team. They might be moving to Florida. You got enough? You got any extra spots on your team, or is it all? Or are you all filled?
Well, it's, I mean, it's, you know, it's full right now. But like, it's just, it's, you know, it's funny because, I mean, if we actually, you know, we actually took our first loss against the team last week, and it was actually the kids, it was good for them, because how we lost was a lot of mistakes, right? We turned the ball over, couldn't pull, like defensively, we were out of shape, and a lot of things happened that were very uncharacteristic. And it was not a lot of things that the other team did, it was a lot of things that we did. So a lot of heads were, you know, a lot of heads were down, but they learned from it, right? And you talk to them after the game and you try to explain to them what happened, and they don't want to hear it at the time, but, you know, go to practice and speak to them about it and let them understand, and they'll get over it quick, right? They're younger kids. Go back at it again this week and play again before the playoffs the following week. But it's good for them to go, you know, have some adversity. You're good. You know, like, listen, we told them at the start of this season, going against sixth and eighth graders, you're probably going to lose some games, right? You're third and fifth graders. You're going against
sixth
and eighth graders.
Which they had never experienced. And they probably had never lost a game. Am I right?
They did not lose many. Yes, they did not lose many games.
I'm working with Vince Lombardi.
Yeah,
go ahead.
They did not lose many. So, like, we prepared them for, like, listen, this is not going to be easy. Like, these are going to be tough games. And up to that point, you know, we had some tough games, but finally this one, you know, they didn't play great. The other team played just a little bit better. We lost by a touchdown, and hey, that's life. And then when you're going against older, bigger kids, if you don't play well enough, you're going to lose. And that's what happened. And it's a good lesson learned. So like, it was, it's been fun to see them, you know, compete at a certain level. And, obviously, I always think it's good to get humbled a little bit mid-season, which I think is good.
This is odd because I so do you copy any coach that you had at any point in your life, or is that kind of a stupid question? This is pretty simple stuff. But in terms of just an overall approach as to how you want to treat the kids, deal with the kids?
You know, I think I just I look at it from – I think I look at it more. I mean, obviously, for me, I'm always harder on my own son because, like, I don't, you know, that's just how I always am. Like, that's just if there's a kid that's going to get chewed out, it's probably going to be my son, not anyone else. That's just the way it goes.
You got a pretty high standard to equal me. I carried my kid out of practice and walked and carried him home, and the practice had to shoot on their own until I got back. So you got
that's just like what normally happens, but I just like to challenge them, but not discourage, right? Like challenge,
great
let
line.
It be fun, but not discourage. So like, you know, obviously reward them and you know, let them, you know, celebrate them, let them, but not pump their ego, right? Like bring them back down to earth, but celebrate when they do things good, right? Like, and it's finding that happy medium. And it's, you know, when they're going against kids that they're own age and they're beating them by those types of scores, it's really, you know, it's really keeping them, you know, grounded. But when they're winning games against kids that are older and bigger and everything, like you have to celebrate that for them, right? Because like that's an accomplishment that they've never had to do, and they're doing it. But then when they lose games like they did last week and all their heads are down and they're really upset about it, you have to find a way to pick them out of it, right? You have to pick them up and you know, not let them think like this is the end of the world. There's no way we're going to win another game. You know, so like it's finding that happy medium. And I like always like to look at it like there's a, like I told you a couple weeks ago, like find that, like got to coach them in like psychology with a coach mixed in one and trying to find that balance of, you know, doing both. And that's like Campy. Campy was the best at it. Campy was the best at finding that balance of coach and psychologist throughout a week of a game week.
Did you invent this or steal this? Because I think this is the kind of thing they'd see on Twitter coaches. You want to challenge but not discourage. I don't know if anything can be better than that. Shouldn't every coach know that? I mean, that when you feel discouraged, you have to stop, right? And each kid can be different that way, but you have to challenge them. I mean, that's basically what you're doing by the competition you're playing against. So did you hear that from a coach, or is that yours?
I just said that. That's just the way, because that's the way I feel about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't make... Maybe I've heard that at some
but
point.
That's
from somewhere,
but that's true of any
like,
teacher. That's true of any parent. I'm trying to think if you had one thing you would want parents to do, because they say sometimes parents are too soft. You want to challenge but not discourage. You don't have to have any other rule at all or standard or approach. That would cover everything, wouldn't it?
And I that's the way I've always looked at it. And, you know, in sports, I think, I mean, you could go all the way to the top, right? All the way to professional. And I think that's the best way to look at it, right? Like, and the thing about it too, in the professional level, you have to almost do it that way, because if you start discouraging professionals, they're gonna rebel against you in the worst way, right? Like, they're gonna
What discourages someone can be different today than it was before. Kids might get discouraged easier today, and your job isn't to change the standard. Your job is to, when it gets there, then you got to do something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that's I mean, that's it. Like, it's when. To me, at least, like, you kind of see when, like, at least I saw it in that game that we played, right? Like, you know, they're playing. They're playing against better competition. They're being challenged. It wasn't going their way. And we get to halftime, and every single kid's head is looking down. They're upset. And then, you know, you could tell they are just – they're completely wrecked because they're not winning at halftime. And they've been winning at halftime – every single game, like, right? And then it's picking them back up and trying to get them motivated to go back out there and continue to compete, continue to fight, try to, you know, pump their ego up a little bit that we're only down by a touchdown, guys. Guys, we're down by a single score. We're not out of it, and trying to get them back up to go out and play. And they did. Like, listen, they went out there and played. We only ended up losing by a touchdown, but it was just trying to find that happy medium with them to go out there and compete, right? And that's the most you can do as a coach.
I want to ask
this
question. I would bet that for you as an athlete, it was impossible for someone to discourage you. That whatever they did, however tough they were, whatever, I question whether in your entire life you were ever discouraged. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, I don't think I was ever discouraged, because I always had belief in myself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I felt in my own, like, someone might have said something to me at some point, but I just always was like, I believe in, you know, my ability and what I can do.
But so, you, like, can't assume that the kids today are like you. That's a huge mistake, right?
Oh, yeah, you can't assume that.
Right.
Like,
okay.
Times have changed. Things have changed. Obviously now, like, you know, how my parents raised me, completely different how kids are being raised today. You can't assume kids are being raised the exact same way that I was raised. So, like, you just don't know the makeup, right? Like, you can't assume anything, and you just have to make sure you can't treat everyone the exact same. It's kind of case by case basis, but that's why, like, the same team that we've had kind of sticks together, because I know these parents. Like, I understand how these parents are. I'm friends with most of them. So, like, I'm very understanding of how they operate, how they are at home with the kids. So, like, I'm very aware of how I can, you know, not discipline them, but how far I can push and how I can, you know, challenge them and pull back and do that. So, which makes it a lot easier for me. If they do something wrong, if I see them not maybe giving all of their effort, you know, it's good for me that I know a lot of these parents and I'm friends with them, because it makes life a little bit easier. If you're a complete stranger and I don't know how things are at home and I don't know how you operate and I don't know how you're what you expect from me as a coach, that makes life a lot harder, right? Like that makes things a lot more difficult where maybe as a parent, you're just expecting, I just want you to just be there, teach them how to do this and don't raise your voice. You know, don't coach my son. I just don't want you to put him out there, let him throw him a pass and that's it. No, that's not really what I'm here for, right? That's not the point of this thing. But
now I want to apologize because it's the Super Bowl week. Everyone wants the Super Bowl. I don't care because this is so much better. And I did want to ask you, will you object that when you talk about your coaching, if I call you Vince?
Yeah.
Yes, I figured you would. All right, we'll get to the third quarter in a second here. I met with Dr. Aaron Holtebeck and his team recently at their Brookfield office, and it's real clear. He's a specialist in solving all the problems, all the age, all the issues for vision care. Top priority with the latest technologies at the state-of-the-art office. But even that hasn't been good enough. Dr. Holtebeck helping local patients with their eye care needs for over 20 years. But he saw how he could get better in an area. So he recently added to his team the addition of Dr. Nausheen Abbas. Again, whatever your vision issue, whatever the age, whatever the issue, take care of it. And he's got an expert in everything. The experts from Holtebeck Eye Center in Brookfield, near the corner of Calhoun and Capitol. Learn more about their services at Holtebeck.com. Damn, talking about his coaching, I can't call him Vince. All right, Brian Bulaga, third quarter, next. What to do? Continuing the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, and we talked about flag football, and because what you were saying was so great, we didn't get to Mark Tauscher's idea that the Pro Bowl should have a flag football setup similar to what they're adding in the Olympics. It would be a great way, I think, it would make me watch it. I didn't watch any of it. And I think it would be a great thing to give the Pro Bowl some, I don't know, visibility, and it would all make sense. I think it's a great idea. I don't know how you would set the team, but the premise is flag football is going to be an Olympic sport, and this would be a great way for the NFL to combine with that because I would think players, as Mark Tauscher has said, would like a gold medal. It would create some juice for the Pro Bowl. What do you think?
Yeah, so like I would imagine Tauscher was saying like bring in countries to like compete.
No, or even if you like, just have the different divisions go against each other using exactly the rules they're going to play in the Olympics, and then there might be some players that want to try to make the Olympic team, but it would give, you know, just to me, great visibility. I'd love to see, however they set up the groups, if they brought some other people in or you had an NFL team, that would work as well. He didn't, so it's just a question of how we set it up, but I think flag football could be and make the Pro Bowl exactly what they would want, attractive and not have regular football where people can get hurt more.
Yeah, I mean, I almost think that it should almost start, like, if you go to that model, I think all conference teams would be a lot cooler, right? Like, you go all conference teams and then do that Pro Bowl-style flag football in that. And then it becomes a lot more... I think fun voting on all conference teams, right? Because then you're able to vote, like fans get to vote more, players get to vote more, and coaches get to vote more within each division. I think it makes it a lot more, and I'm not saying it's like fair, more guys get voted. Like, that's not what I mean. But I just think you get to recognize guys that played really well that year and deserve it, because how many times we talk about snubs and this and that, but it allows more visibility for guys that played really well and probably do deserve it, but sometimes this thing's a popularity contest and guys don't get, you know, elected that probably deserve it. And it, like, Lane Johnson didn't get a Pro Bowl. Like, I don't understand, right? Like, but he got all pro. So, like, it's certain things that, like, just don't make sense to me. So, like, that's all I'm saying. Like, you know, so, and I'm not saying that, like, Tristan, like, the guys that made all pro, like, don't deserve it because I think they're really good. But, like, there's just so many discrepancies between, like, the Pro Bowl and the all pro. Like, it just doesn't make much sense to me. So I think that would be a really cool idea to introduce, because you're right. It is very, it's a little boring.
I never thought I would say this. What they have now is so bad, I'd take the old Pro Bowl.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
they've made it look good. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
But I think the flag football concept works because I think their Olympics is a big deal. And I would guess there might be some players that would be interested in trying to be an Olympian and get a gold medal. What I think, and as you said, you could have your own divisions, however, conference, whoever you, or you could bring in a four. I don't know. There's a wide open positivity to that, that they have no idea what to do now. They don't.
Sorry, that's what I meant. All division teams.
Yeah.
Not all conference. That's
but either,
what it is right
whatever.
Now.
You can sit with Tauscher. You guys can figure out the rules. The rules are easy compared to the decision as to this is what we're going to make it, and this is why. And, you know, you have, and it's probably more important that you have kids watching, and they clearly, but flag football is, it's getting bigger and bigger as
it's
a
huge
part of the game of football, right?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like in my area here in Florida, and just where I live, there are four different leagues going on at once that happen every season. So, like, fall, winter, spring, four different leagues that happen on Friday nights around here, and they're all packed. They're all full. So there's the NFL league, there's the Under Armour league, there's the I-9 league, there's one more. It's like the Bold some other league out in Sarasota. So, like, there's a ton of them, and they're all full because it's such a big trending thing that kids like to go out and do and play. And there's obviously different levels of competitiveness in each league, but it's something that I think kids enjoy doing. It keeps them active. It's something that if you don't want to play tackle, it introduces you to the game. And kind of maybe gets you a little bit ready to go play tackle, right? And introduces you to different positions in the game. And to me, it's becoming more and more popular. And I think you get, like, my daughter plays and she loves it. Like, my daughter plays flag football and she loves every minute of it. She's running around, pulling flags, scoring touchdowns. Like, she loves doing it. So, like, it gives girls an opportunity to go out there and play. So, like, to me, it's becoming bigger and bigger.
All right, we will get to the Super Bowl. I wanted to get to coaches because I've created this concept of the position coaches, and I'm now in the position of they're not important, which I understand they're important. I just don't think they're as important as they become when they get fired or hired. We will get to Brian Bulaga on the Super Bowl, but first I want to mention Saganiac Planning, the name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service. Then I added they've been doing it well for over 50 years. That's why they're that good with the complicated parts of helping you with employee benefits. And there's a fourth part that I now add. Small enough to handle your needs with special attention and large enough to have the clout to make it happen. You have to be large enough so that the companies you deal with respect you, and in doing so, then Saganiac can take care of you because the companies are taking care of Saganiac Planning. You got to be that large. Call Saganiac Planning. Remember 783-262-783. Roger Maris, 6161. Fourth quarter next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour never has a show the week of the Super Bowl said less about the Super Bowl. I don't care. If you're a parent, you're a kid, whatever, you're a human, you need to go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and listen to the show multiple times to find out what a good coach does. And yes, I wish I could call him Vince when we talk about his coaching, but he vetoed that. All right, Philadelphia, Kansas City. I'll be simple. I just think you keep taking Kansas City, they'll tell us somebody beats them. But they're, to me, almost kind of like the Packers must have been in Lombardi's era. Like, I'm just taking Green Bay. Why? They always seem to win. And until somebody beats them, I'll keep taking them. But I'll defer to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to bet against them. It's really difficult. I mean, they find a way, and they continue to find a way to do it. And there's something about them in the playoffs and you know, Lombardi, and then you look at the next one, and it's the Patriots and Brady and how he did things and how they, Belichick and him, and now it's Andy Reid and Mahomes, how they did things. It's very similar, and it's really hard to bet against them because they just find ways to get it done. And, like, we could talk about Andy Reid and Mahomes. that defense is playing so good, right? They're playing really good. So
they
like,
have been the dominant side of the ball the last 2 years.
Yes.
It's not even close like, over the regular season. Yep.
Yeah, they're playing great. So, like, you can't discount that from them. And if that side continues to play well, obviously they're up for a huge challenge stopping Saquon and Hurts and that side of the ball, which, you know, that's not unfortunate, but they kind of showed against Cook that they can get gashed a little bit in the run. Like, they can be exposed against the run with good lines and run the ball, which Philly's going to take note of right there. Philly's going to see what Buffalo was able to do with a running quarterback in Josh Allen and a good running back in Cook. And they're gonna utilize that, which could cause Kansas City some problems. And the only difference is Philly has really good wide receivers, and that has a good matchup. You know, they have good matchups on the outside for Philly. So it'll be interesting to see how Kansas City kind of counters that defensively, but they've been playing great. So it's hard to say that, like, you're doubting Kansas City. It's just, can Philly's defense, you know, get the big stops when Mahomes normally goes down and gets his points, right? Like, Mahomes somehow always finds a way to go down and get his touchdown when he needs it, or finds Kelce for the 15-yard gain down the middle of the field wide open. He somehow gets wide open right in the middle of the field, and it's a first down. Then they show Taylor Swift on TV, and they're in the suite. And it's like it happens for on purpose. And it's just, you know, it just always happens. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs until they get beat.
I am curious about this. You've talked to it, and the feeling you said you always had with Aaron Rodgers that he can get it done. Can you see that feeling with Kansas City, or is there any comparison you see to Mahomes or Rodgers? I don't want to lean you in any direction, but what do you see from a team or a quarterback that stands out and is a part of why Kansas City is said to be so good? And it's always Mahomes is the start, and I don't know that anybody can argue with that.
Yeah, no one can argue with that. I mean, obviously he's the driver of this thing, right? He gets this thing going in the proper motion. I mean, he and Aaron are, you know, I think you look at their games and they are, I think they're really different players, right? Like, I think they both do unique things with how they throw the football and getting out of the pocket and doing different things. But, like, they're two different types of players. Leadership styles, I don't know. I've never, you know, I don't know Mahomes. I've never met him. I don't, how he does things and how he is. I have no idea. So, like, I can't really, it's hard for me to even make a judgment on that.
But when you watch him, what do you think? What's the first thought that crosses your mind having been an offensive lineman?
I mean, I think watching him and seeing him on the field and how guys rally around him, I think guys love playing for him. Like, that's how I think when I see him. I think guys like playing for him. I think they respect the hell out of him. And I think they believe in him, right? I think guys have that feeling that he has the ball in his hand, like I felt with Aaron, that we can go get it done no matter what. And I think you could see that on the field when they take the field in these situations that they have to have it, that they're going to go get it done. And that's, you know, that's the belief that you see with this team. When it may look like they're, you know, outmatched, they don't have it, and they go get it
done. Or they haven't done anything the last couple possessions, like three and out. Or three and out, and then they come out and just go right down the field and score after the last possession showing nothing.
Yep, and I think that's how guys, you know, rally around him and kind of believe that they can just go get it done. And I think the defense then feeds off that too, because they go, hey, if we just get him the ball back, we know he's going to go take care of it. Like, he's going to go get his points. If we get him the ball back quick, he'll go get his points. And that Buffalo game, more times than not, he did, right? Yeah. He would go right down the field. They would score points, and that was that. So, like, and then when you see your quarterback the way he was doing it, selling out and running for touchdowns, that gives you even more, like, I don't know. That gives you energy, man. Like, I remember when Aaron ran for that touchdown in Chicago in the NFC Championship. That just gives you juice. That's like that is completely selling out for your team, that you're willing to just put it out there, like put your body out there to win games. Like, and people may think, well, that's basic, he should do that. But like, listen, dude, taking shots as a quarterback, you know, putting your body out there to just get hit, and you know, when you can just simply, you know, go down at the one and hand it off to your running back instead of taking rib shots. I mean, there's something to be said about it, right? Like, that gives your group around you a lot of juice and a lot of energy that, like, hey, man, this guy's all in. We got to be all in on this because he's all in today. Anything we can do to get this thing done, we got to do it. And that's how I think they feel about Mahomes.
All right, we've got Thursday to talk about it. We'll talk again on Thursday. And, again, anybody involved in youth football, anybody with kids, any parent, any whatever, you go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and you can hear from Coach Brian Bulaga and his thoughts. Talk on Thursday. Thanks.
Yep.
He is the best, as I like to say. I don't know what's next. Maybe I do. But it can't be this good. Brian Bulaga, Homer Hour, next.